Well, hello and welcome to Local Matters and Education Matters in the Upper Cumberland. Our special guest today is Dr. Lisa Zagumny, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. Lisa, thanks for being back with us and welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, some folks may have heard you before, but we've probably got some new listeners too. So tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I am wrapping up my third year as Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech. And I'm a multicultural educator. Foundations, that's my area of expertise. So I'm involved in a lot of professional organizations nationally, the National Association for Multicultural Education. I'm the president-elect. A local group here that you might know of is Impact Cookeville. I'm now the chair of the board of Impact Cookeville.
Wow.
And that is really exciting and quite an honor. I'm in really good company with Impact Cookeville. And I've been selected to participate in Deans for Impact Fellowship Academy, which is a nationwide organization of College of Education deans who advocate for the use of the science of learning in education in preparing educators for P-12 schools. So,
cool.
Got a little bit going on.
Yeah, you do. And you've been at Tech now a number of years.
That's for sure. I came up through the ranks from an assistant professor to a professor or associate dean.
I remember when you joined us. Yes. Yeah, that's great. Well, let's talk about education in 2020. It's been a dramatic year, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
The COVID pandemic has really changed the face of education.
It sure has. A lot has changed since my last visit with you in early February. So it's a whole new world.
What kind of things do you think are going to have the most lasting impact out of this?
Well, the most lasting impact, I'm hopeful that maybe some of the ways that we do teacher education, educator preparation, might change a little bit in that we might have more flexibility, greater understanding of what teachers do, greater respect for teachers. That we could approach educator preparation to better meet the needs of the community and the needs of the students. Our Tennessee State Board of Education and our State Department of Education have been incredible partners through this pandemic. They've been very reflexive and responsive to our needs in helping us get a new set of teacher candidates in the fall, but also to get those candidates that were ready to graduate in May and that did graduate in May out there, despite perhaps not holding the required number of hours in practicum and field placements, or maybe not being able to access a licensure exam either for admission or for graduation in order to be recommended for licensure, the state board really came out and helped us in great ways. And we've always had a really great working relationship with the Department of Ed and the Board of Ed. But this really demonstrated their support of educator preparation programs in Tennessee, and we're really appreciative of that.
What you mentioned a couple there just in that remark, but what kind of special challenges did the May grads have? I know they were pulling their hair out, as were the teachers.
Oh, my gosh. I think just really trying to figure out, okay, what were the different things that they still had in the pipeline before they could graduate, but also be recommended for licensure. So the majority of our seniors had enough time out in the field because we have that year-long residency. So they had already had that 15-hour requirement. But it was some of the assessments, the final praxis exams to be recommended for licensure, and also the EdTPA. So we were granted extensions so we could recommend on a special certification. We could recommend folks that they would have an extension in order to meet those requirements. Those were the primary challenges that we ran into. Mm-hmm. And then just trying to keep everybody on task with, you know, what our goals are in terms of graduating teacher candidates. So it was an interesting semester, to say the least. One of the great things that we heard about, we sent out a questionnaire to our students just to check in how were things going in terms of alternate delivery of courses? Were there any things that they could share about faculty members doing really awesome things online in an alternate format? And they bragged on their professors. It was really nice.
Right.
And they didn't just brag on the College of Education professors to us. They bragged on all of their professors. So we sent out notes to everybody to say, you know, thank you for really putting forth your best effort in helping to ensure our candidate success.
Tech really had to make a very quick turnaround from a traditional on-campus kind of degree to, while we had many other kinds of distance learning, we were fundamentally on-campus traditional programs, and that had to change, didn't it?
It sure did, and that looks really different for educator preparation, because not only are we used to being in classrooms on campus at Tech, we're used to being in classrooms out in the community in
yes.
P-12 schools. So what does that look like now when we're trying to, you know, get that experience, but we're all working remotely?
It's been a challenge, and I know it's been a challenge for a lot of different sectors. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Lisa Zagumny from the College of Education. Lisa, one of those local sectors is the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Parents had to become teachers and facilitators of learning, didn't they?
They sure did.
And again, I have grandchildren that their parents went through that, and they both have handled it without a suicide or without any major disruption. But I can imagine that for most parents who are not trained as teachers, that this move to a formal curriculum in a distance format had to be a challenge.
Most certainly. Families are doing great things. They're doing the absolute best they can. And I have a great quote from Shonda Rhimes. On March 16th, right after the shelter in place was put in place in New York anyway, she tweeted out, "Been homeschooling a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old for 1 hour and 11 minutes. Teachers deserve to make $1 billion a year or a week." So I think that she really did a good job of capturing what parents are experiencing.
Yeah.
And I think that helps people better understand what teachers do. You know, students don't just sit at a desk all day long. They don't just stare at a screen all day long. There's a lot of interaction and engagement there that we forget about, you know, because we haven't
been
a student in a classroom for a while. So I think it really helped us all better remember what teachers really do.
And there are a lot of moving parts, 40 in a classroom or 25 in a classroom. They're not all sitting still at the same time, are they?
No, and if you have more than one, you've captured that. You understand now.
Well, let's talk about our children, too. What kinds of challenges do you think the children faced both during the pandemic, and then perhaps even let's talk a little more about the long term.
Yep. I'm worried that this will exacerbate that summer slide, that, you know, we lose some achievements that we gained the previous year over the summer. But students are really resilient, and teachers and families are very creative. So I think there are a lot of plans in place to do some catch up, some remediation in the fall, to help make up for that summer slide. But also, if you live in a community where teachers live, you know they're still engaging their students. I've got a couple teachers in my community who coordinate pick up and drop off of supplies in their driveways. So they're still working with those students to help prevent that slide. But I really think that will be one of our biggest challenges, is just getting back to some degree of normalcy, whatever that looks like.
It will be a big change for a student that has been used to a home-based environment for 6 months now or more.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the transitions are always the most challenging. So hopefully we'll figure this out sooner than later.
Do you have any, and I know this is speculation, about the way the future is going to roll out in terms of how we train teachers, even whether we're going to be back in a traditional school setting like we've seen for 100 years?
I do think this will have an impact on the way we train teachers. Again, I'm really hopeful that we have all learned something from this and that we have a better understanding of what teachers do and respect for teachers. But this idea of training teachers when they're out in P-12 schools, on the ground in a classroom, if we have to do maintain social distancing, or if we have to maintain a piece of this that's a distance format, it's going to look different. So the way that we currently supervise or mentor teacher candidates, where we're in a classroom with them observing what they're doing, that might need to be some sort of, virtual setup where we're not in a classroom with them to maintain social distancing and lower numbers in the classroom. There might be more purposeful, deliberate training of teachers that's an online delivery format rather than that in the classroom format. So I do think that there will be some long-term impacts on the way we train teachers. And just talking with deans from across the country and how everybody is approaching this a little bit differently, but still thinking about that need to be really reflexive and pivot on an as-needed basis. So being prepared for every different scenario.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a brave new world in a lot of ways for the students and the parents and the teachers and how we teach the teachers, how we prepare them. Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking to Lisa Zagumny, the chairman, the dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. And we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We're talking about education matters in the Upper Cumberland, and we're talking to Lisa Zagumny, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. Boy, it's been a dramatic year in education, and we've been talking about some of the effects on teachers and students and even administrators. I can't imagine the district offices and what they've all gone through. But I let's talk a bit about the May graduates again and about the future career paths for teachers. Did May grads, I know many of them had already interviewed and had ideas about where they were going. So did their placement rates stay about the same?
Yep, they sure did. We had just over 400 students graduate in May, mm-hmm. and the majority of those are teacher educators. So they were rolling out. There were quite a few going to grad school, but there's still a high demand for teachers. So we're experiencing, and that same week there were districts calling us saying we need this teacher and that teacher and that teacher. So we're trying
Excellent.
To get them out there.
Yeah, it's still a good career field. And you had led an effort, along with many others, called Teachers Rock back in the early spring, before all this pandemic stuff started. So talk a bit about teacher shortages, about the need for teachers, and about the Teachers Rock initiative.
Yes. Well, spring changed that a little bit. We were hoping to roll this out in March. And in response to there's a national debt in need of teachers, and there is in Tennessee too. And there was a survey of directors of schools in the fall in Tennessee, and they just went on and on about the turnover and the need that they have for teachers, especially in high endorsement areas. So we worked with the 17 districts that are in the Upper Cumberland Directors of School Study Council. And they did a needs assessment, and in response to their needs, we put together this Teachers Rock initiative, which had four different approaches to trying to grow the number of people pursuing teaching as a career. But again, COVID-19 had different plans for us. But we do have some of these opportunities that are still there, and we're working on rolling some out. So one is maximizing add-on endorsements. So this is an expedited pathway for people who currently hold a teaching license to add on additional licensure areas. So they can add on those high-demand areas like math and science, special education, English as a second language. And we've worked to simplify the steps that current teachers need to go through in order to add on an endorsement. So this is a goal to help collaborate with our partner districts to identify those high-need areas in their schools and encourage strong teachers to add an endorsement to help meet those needs. We've also worked with our partner districts on fostering grow-your-own initiatives like early post-secondary opportunities, such as dual enrollment and dual credit. So this is a way that teachers can identify their best and brightest students that they know would be good teachers and encourage them to participate in these dual credit and dual enrollment programs and teaching as a profession programs in our partner schools. We've got 20 of these across the state of Tennessee, and we're working on growing a few more of those so that those students can actually get the feel of what it's like to be a teacher before they even get into college. Another piece of Teachers Rock is teachers as recruiters. Nobody knows what a future teacher looks like than a teacher. So they can identify those students in their classroom that they know that possess the skills to make a great teacher. And so we're working on a recruitment initiative where they can send us the names of the students that they think would really excel at that. And they might get a T-shirt in return or a Tennessee Tech flag or something to celebrate in their classroom. We're also working on these collaborative residency opportunities. So we have an already existing pool of people who would make great teachers. And these are teacher assistants in our current schools. So if we can help districts identify teacher assistants who are interested in pursuing that licensure, and then we can collaborate on financial and educational opportunities to support those folks. And we're working on a grant proposal right now with the Federal Department of Education to try and get some funding to really support that. They had a statewide initiative, but with COVID-19, those funds are being diverted elsewhere for good reason. But related to that, we've also submitted a grant to the State Department of Education. They had a proposal for EPPs, Educator Preparation Programs, to help grow the number of teachers in special education. And we're hoping to hear back about that this week. Fingers crossed. We had letters of support from our 17 partner districts, and we're really hoping to help find some great special ed teachers.
Well, that sounds great. There's a lot going on, and obviously it's a great career field, and there's a lot of students who could do very well. And speaking of our partner counties, we've got many Tennessee Tech grads in all of those schools all across our partner counties, don't we?
We sure do.
It's amazing to me how many, when I would go out to visit a county school system, it's just amazing how many of those teachers were Tech grads.
Yep. We have memorandums of understanding with 52 districts across the state of Tennessee. That's huge. We have monthly meetings with our 17 directors of schools and that Upper Cumberland Directors of Study Council. So we're really staying in constant communication with them because we support each other. Our faculty, our Tech faculty, are out in the schools supervising their teacher candidates in practicum courses. Our students are out in the schools. And here's a fun fact for everybody. More districts in the state of Tennessee hire Tennessee Tech teacher candidates than any other educator preparation program in the state of Tennessee.
And that's quite a compliment to the College of Ed and to and the great reputation that comes from Tennessee Tech. So that is great. We ought to go back and talk a little bit about parents. This COVID pandemic hasn't ended. So what advice would you give parents now in summer, as they're preparing for whatever is coming next fall? What can they do to help keep their children ready And that's probably different for an 11th grader than for a second grader. But talk a bit about what advice you would give parents.
Oh, my gosh. Read, read, read. We know from research that the more you read, it helps to prevent that summer slide. So no matter if you have a second grader or an 11th grader, please encourage some reading. But we also know, and our friends in exercise science, who are also in the College of Education, like to remind us regularly, that research shows that physical activity boosts cognitive function. So get outside and play. It would do us all some good to get outside and get moving.
Yes, it would. Now, for some of us, we might be a little sore the next day, sorer than the grandkids would be, but that is great advice. And it's going to be a while before we know exactly what the year will bring, but we need to have them as prepared as we can for whatever that is. Well, how many students are in the College of Ed at this point? You mentioned the graduates, but how many total students do you have?
Right now, let me back up. Last fall, we had just under 1,800. So we got about 1,400 undergrad and 400 grad. And our applications right now, in comparison to this time from last year, they're up.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. They're really up. So we're anxious to see how this shakes out. It looks very promising. But right about 1,800. So if we hit that mark or get a few more, we're okay with it.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. That's growth is a good thing, even though it stretches your budgets usually. Mm-hmm. And budgets, according to what I'm reading about the state of Tennessee, may be a bit challenged this coming year.
It will be an interesting year for sure.
So I know your curriculum committee and your leadership team in the college are talking all of the time, but what do you think this little pandemic has taught us about teacher training? Do you see any new courses or new areas of emphasis, like how to run distance learning programs?
Well, that's a great question. We are the first in the state to be approved to offer computer science education.
Wow.
As an endorsement, as a discipline. So we've got some great faculty who are leading that program. And again, first in the state. So those faculty members have been very helpful and responsive to help the rest of the faculty move their courses online. And we have other users who aren't part of that program who've been very helpful. Super users is what the Center for CITL calls those folks. So I think that's part of it. But I also think just to be really reflexive and responsive and to come at all of our planning with a sense of grace, you know, expecting the best of our students, that they're going to put forth their best efforts and work their hardest and do their best, and that there might be a glitch, and we can work through that, whatever that looks like. And again, our students, our teacher candidates, were bragging on how great the faculty were in terms of making that transition. So I think just learning to be more responsive and reflexive in terms of how we approach formal education, because it doesn't have to necessarily be as formalized as it is.
That's right.
So everything's a learning experience. So sometimes just trying to figure out how to work Zoom or Teams is sufficient.
Yeah, I think teachers have learned about as much as students have learned this year. And many times I think they've learned they can be a distance learning teacher if they have to be.
Yep. And I think part of it is just that those connections, right? We know that our students are missing those connections with their peers and their faculty members, just like the faculty members are missing the students. I think that's why we went into higher ed, we're inherently people.
Yep.
So we, in the College of Education, really tried to maintain that connection. So we still had our graduation celebration, even though we couldn't do it in person. And we had about 50 students on a Zoom call with us, and they still won their Bluetooth speakers and their mini iPad, but they wanted to connect with one another.
Sure.
And to brag on each other. And we had a handful of early childhood majors who made a beautiful YouTube video about their faculty members. So I think just really pitching in and working together is the best we can do.
Well, that's great. We've got a journey ahead of us, and it's going to be exciting and interesting, and we're just going to have to stay tuned and see where this takes us. This is Local Matters. We have been talking to Dr. Lisa Zagumny, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Stay safe out there.